Thank you. Thank you. Good worship team. Good. I was sharing, I think it was you, Sean, I was having a conversation with you yesterday at the graduation party. And we were talking about somebody else that was in music and came to this realization in the midst of their growing career that they were nothing but a beer advertisement. That's a tough awakening to come to when you're doing good, you're increasing your popularity, you're growing, all those things that you want and desire as a musician. This person told me this personally. It wasn't a hearsay. This is a real test, a real thing they told me. And they just went, I'm not doing this anymore, and just pulled up from the whole thing and let it go. And I've told the worship team, this is the best audience. The numbers don't matter. When you have a group that engage with you and they're sober. No, I'm serious. I love drunken people from a distance, but I can't handle them. Like, I can't. That's weird. You're not even dealing with a real person. Someone comes up to you, then they're truly like drunk. You're like, stay over there, because I ain't got no time for that. And when you have an audience that can be excited and on fire and clicked in and tuned in with you, and the real goal as a worship team is to be a vehicle for worship. We're never performers. We're always we are worship leaders. So it's not like a man on a rock singing a song. That's just you out in the field worshiping, which is great. But to facilitate worship, it's another calling. You've got to work at being transparent. You want to engage people, but not perform. It's a tricky thing to do. And I love my worship team. I love the group that we have. Because we're transparent with one another, we have great relationship. And if people ask me about, or I get a chance to talk about the worship team, what I talk about is our relationship with each other and the bond that we have and how we function, how we work together. And we're all frail in some dimension and have our weaknesses and our faults. But what we do have is this good relationship, transparency with each other, and we keep going after this thing where we're not performing and we're worshiping. And so I love the feedback, because I know what we're working at. And when you say that was great worship, then I'm like, yes, then you were able to participate with the worship. You weren't watching worship. You were in it. You were pulled in. So that's so exciting. Anybody see my new flag? Out front, my new flagpole. Pay attention, it's in my front yard. It's like bigger than life. 21-foot, like flagpole, real thing. Yeah. And then, of course, there's a Trump 2020, for president. Second flag is that. As you all know, I love my president. And we had such a great meeting last week with Christopher Milo. And I've been interacting with him back and forth, and he wants to come back. And he said, I don't usually, I want to come back to your church. And he wants to equip. And I said, our people loved him. And he says, yeah, but that's not what mattered to him. He's like, are you going to do something? Like, take action, like, become active. And we were back and forth through most of the week. And I had put the flagpole up sometime this week, and then I had Jace, my grandson, early on Saturday morning, just enjoying the beautiful morning and sunshine, and we were in and out of the house and out in the front yard lot, Jace was here the night before. Well, how was it that his hair? Oh, he was with you, and he was swimming, and his hair got wet. Then he fell asleep, and so when he woke up, he had one of these. So the next morning, on Saturday morning, we see him, and Ashley hasn't done anything with his hair. So she must have put him to bed wet and woke him up and brought, that kind of thing. Just kidding, but yeah, like that. So when he showed up early Saturday morning, because I think she needed to do something with Phyllis quick, and then they were getting ready to go on vacation and blah, blah, blah. And he's there, and I'm like, ha, ha, ha. And I had an epiphany. I had an inspiration. And I grabbed him up and I snuck into the house, down the stairs, down to where I have my coconut oil and whatever, and I dude'd up his hair, you know, did it up proper, come out, started taking pictures, photo op, you know, we're taking pictures of this, whatever. And then I stand in front of the flag and I take a picture of myself and Jace because I'd send something else. I said to Christopher, I said, hey, this is the Christopher Milo look. He's like, oh yeah, that's awesome, you know, cute grandchild, whatever. And then I took a picture with us with, you know, a selfie with the, you know, the flagpole and behind us. And I said, one question, do you love my president? You know, he's like, of course, I was pretty sure he would. And it's like, yes, I do. So I do love my president. I believe he's called by God. I believe he's standing and doing, he's changing the whole world. And I'm going to pull up because I could just go off on all the things that are going on, how good it is. But lots of great, great things. He's changing the world. He is liberating other leaders of other nations that have been under, you know how the mafia controls people in cities? We watch the movies. The mafia, you know, yeah, we know what the mafia does, you know, and they show up and they want their payment. You pay us and we'll leave you alone. We'll even protect you from the other bad guys. It's pathetic. But because you don't want to fight the fight and you want to keep your family safe and you whatever, you fall into this thing where you're paying them for their protection, you know, and it's a skimming off the top. Well, there are other world leaders that have those kind of individuals over them. For real. And right now our country's dealing with a nation that whose leadership is under that kind of stuff. That little drone incident this week. And the president, he's sharp as a tack, man. He did not fall for it. We're not going to retaliate. It was just a drone. Don't want to kill anybody. And then I hear him talk. He says, I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of people from New York that were Iranians. They're good people. They're very sharp. They're smart. They're hardworking. I don't want to kill our Iranians just because. I want to be really, really sure before I do any move. And he says, I think maybe that was a mistake. And that was his language for someone not truly in the leadership did that to spark something. And I believe that with all my heart. So that's the kind of thing that's going on. We have a Supreme Court judge right now that went from very conservative to very liberal. Judge Roberts, you can pray for him. We believe, as he's under something. And the NSA is not the only one that was collecting data. There are many parallel operations where they collect information. And when they get information on you, and then they let you know what they have on you, they've got you right here in their pocket. For some reason, this judge, Judge Roberts, who is very conservative, flips and he starts voting very liberal, issue after issue for several years now. We believe he's under something, and it's just possible, just wonder, if we can get to him and say, hey, the thing they were holding over you, we took care of those people. Like, they're not in power anymore. They can't hold that anymore. Pray. What the Bible tell us? Is it what the Bible say? Pray for your leaders. Pray for those who are in authority over you. And I love this Kurt referring to, you know, Winston Churchill. What a leader. I don't think any pastors would have invited him to speak at their church because he was always drinking whiskey and smoking these cigars. He was an amazing leader, though. Don't miss the man for the smoke. He was an awesome leader, and he stood with his country. He was his feet on the ground when his country was being attacked. He was visiting the sites, and he was right out in the midst of this. And he led them to victory, and he held the thing. You know, he just held his stand and stood for his country while they were under this until they did have victory. But it was very dire and very dark for a long time. Other lesser leaders would have caved. And trust me, there are ways that you can cave. It's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy to be threatened. I'm sure one concession, one phone call to Hitler, to whoever, you know, that would have mattered, say, hey, we'll just give up. Don't destroy our people. Don't destroy our nation. That's how that stuff happens. But he stood his ground. We need to pray for our leaders. Even when they're the best that they can be, they need prayer, and the Bible instructs us. So let's pray again for this Independence Day. I believe a lot of things are going on, a lot of good things. Keep your eyes open on the 4th of July on the national scale. There's some good things coming. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up our president. You instructed us to pray for those that govern over us. And Father, right now we have the opportunity to pray with joy for a man that we know that is watching out for our interests and doing the best that he can to watch over all things, economy, socially, morally. He is setting the record straight and changing things. He is executing justice the way it should be executed. And so we ask for Godspeed for him. We ask that you protect him and all the patriots that are working so tirelessly to overcome this evil horde that hate you, that hate the church, that hate the gospel. And Father, in this season, may we make opportunity to run with the good news while we have a clear, open field. The ball is falling into our arms, and just let us run for the goal with all of our hearts. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Psalms. Psalms 37. Quick review. I had started in Psalms 37 in reading out of the Passion Translation. Keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in his eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God, and you will be secure, feasting on his faithfulness. And I even had someone that just listens to our podcast, and if anybody's listening to the podcast, this is cool. We have a growing number of people that listen, and so that excites me when I hear the feedback. And this one person quoted back, "Fix your heart on the promises of God." That's what they texted me. Like, I'm like, they listened to the message. Awesome. That's awesome. And it comes to that, and this preceding this. Trust in the Lord in the first line of verse 3 in the translation, this translation, the way it's worded, keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in his eyes. And that becomes a really big deal to identify what is right and to do what is right. It's not just about just do what you want, get saved, find grace, and do what you want, but it's about put your trust in the Lord. Move towards putting all of your trust in the Lord. Phyllis and I are consciously like, you never outgrow this. So here I am, 64. I keep getting upgrades. I'm going to get, by the time I get to heaven, there I'll be like, hey, look at me. I got saved. You know, I don't know what. I got transformed. I just love, Cheryl, relating this, you know, Jason and Tanya's, Jason's father, dying and saying, trust in the Lord. Like, I mean, like, we all believe, Dad, and it's like, no. Enter into the fullness. You're just scratching the surface. And I'm really concerned about Christians. Like, everybody's got the tag on. But, wow, not everything that looks like a coach purse is a coach purse. Don't think less of me for using that example, but, you know, it's just what came to mind at the moment, yeah. They're imitations. Anybody can throw a name and a label on something, but what's the fabric? Is it really made out of the right stuff? Is it the real thing? Is it authentic? And we're called to be authentic believers through and through. And we're commissioned to trust in the Lord. That should be our primary mode of operation. I trust in the Lord. First thing, trust in the Lord. First thing, pray for things. First thing, ask the Lord. Not first thing, run to friends. Not first thing is run to the doctor. I'm not even against that. But get this in order so the first thing is I trust in the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do about this? Get him first, primary. This is so important. And I found myself recently, I got convicted, like you get convicted about something, change up. Forget about how old you are or how much you should know. Just, you see something, fix it. It's that simple. I'm like, oh wow, I'm not here. I'm not trusting the Lord for everything. I'm still trying to earn things and deserve things and work harder and do better. And that's good a little, but the primary thing needs to be to trust him fully. And so we started taking communion almost every morning. We take communion, and that revelation is just growing because we're doing it to receive, like consciously reach out and receive everything that he has for me. Daily, Lord, I need you to bless our finances. Lord, I need you to bless our health, our well-being. Wholeness, we declare wholeness, and we're making these declarations. And it's just getting sweeter and sweeter, isn't it, Phyllis? Because we're tapping into something, and it's so good. Like, I don't take thought for myself. I take thought for him. That's liberty right there. Stop examining yourself. Stop deciding whether you're worthy. Just, you get to just bypass that. Wake up in the morning and get your eyes and your focus and your heart on him. That's automatically good. I think about myself too much. I'm depressed before I get out of bed. What I did yesterday, what I didn't do yesterday, what I've got to do today, am I going to make it? Am I going to do good? Am I going to do enough? Am I going to do it well? Instead, like just constant meditate on the goodness of God and his active provision in our lives. And so we participate and we partake of this. And so last week, 2 weeks ago, back to Christopher Milo. I didn't finish that. So yeah, I had Jace's hair up and he's responding to me. But in our interaction this week, I just want to throw this out to you. He wants to come back. I want him to come back. And if you have a desire to be more active, just in whatever, why were we so impacted? Because everybody I talked to said, wow, I love this guy. I loved him. What were you looking at? Because I want you to apply this to you. That's why we're going to look at this. What did you see? You saw a person that was actually very normal, grew up in Ohio, in Wadsworth, Ohio, had stuff, things happened, just kind of probably a quirky kid when he was little, when he was young. He's relating his story, what he's experienced, the good, the bad, the ugly. He's relating his story, and he finds the Lord, and he meets obstacles, and he overcomes the obstacles, and he starts to get this story, and the Lord starts to lead him, and he follows that. And following that creates this whole other thing that is more satisfying than his very successful career as a concert pianist, playing it everywhere from the DiMaggio. Is that the Lagio, DiMaggio, whatever, some casino in Las Vegas. I'm glad I don't even know what I'm talking about. And, you know, he was telling us at lunch, he goes on Caribbean cruises, he would, you know, and he would pick the ones in the winter. And he was the concert pianist for the cruise, you know, and just go out and be out and, you know, eat all you wanted and, you know, live the life on the cruise, you know, and be out of the Ohio weather. That's a temptation, yeah. To where he's literally just pulled up from all that because this ministry is what satisfies. And he's reaching into the hearts and lives of children, school children, children with cancer. And we're all like, whoa, this is a real thing. To have a child chase you down the hall and say, hey, I'm doing things to myself. Will you help me? Did he tell that story in church? I can't remember what he told here and told at lunch because he told us more there. And to, you know, apply, and then he's very spiritual, supernatural, cast, you know, deals with the demons in the principal's office, tells the principal to leave the building. Did he tell that here or not? I thought, I didn't think so. And we're like, this girl chases him down after he's been at a school. He hits a school about four times, goes in, interviews the staff. Then he drops into the classrooms randomly and at some point tells the teacher to leave. I said, they listen to you? He goes, oh yeah, they do anything I want them to do. And they leave, and man, the teacher leaves and the kids open up. Out it comes. He asks a couple questions. What are you guys up to? What's happening? And out they talk. And then he has an assembly, does some things there, does some visual things, illustrations with some building blocks and different things to talk about his 13 messages, which are just so good. How many of you got the book? We probably should get some more copies. I had him send me a book because I didn't get a chance to read. Yeah, one of you guys got a free book. Yeah. It's simple stuff. It's just simply his story, but he tells these values that he emphasizes. They're good stuff. They're kingdom stuff. It's like our Constitution. It fits with the Bible. Like, you know, it's good stuff. It's like none other. And so he does that, and he goes to the classroom, and he's done with doing his things, and he has a meeting with the students and the parents on an evening. And so he does like four things at every school that he goes to. It's very effective. Do you understand? As far as I know, he doesn't have a degree. Remember his testimony? He goes to Akron University and got laid off in the first semester. He has a permit to conceal and carry in about most of the states of the United States. So he says, I usually wear a jacket because I'm like, no way, too cool. And he goes to schools with this thing, and they're hungry, and someone said, it's amazing he gets in. It's like, they're desperate. They got problems they don't know how to deal with. The counselors aren't cutting it. No one's cutting it. It's not cutting. We got serious problems no one knows what to do with. And they give him free access, and this girl chases him down the hall. Hey, I got to talk to you. Can you help me? I'm doing something to myself. Can you help me? And he's like, yeah, come here. Goes in the principal's office, tells the principal to hit the road. I'm like, wow, I'm impressed right there, you know. I need your office. Clear the room, you know, that thing. Sits down with this little girl, starts talking, asking questions. She dumps out her purse. All the junk is in it that's bad. He leaves it on the principal's desk. And then he prays. You want to be free from this? Yep. He goes, oh, I'm going to pray over you. I mean, he just deals with the demons right there, just whatever, and declares to her, you're never going to have this issue again. You're going to be free from this. In Jesus' name, sends her home. Oh, my gosh. How many people in the ministry would die to get an opportunity like that to get in? So how did he do that? By following the Spirit and just using what he has. That's how. He doesn't have credentials. And he's getting into these places. He's the spider in king's palaces. He's moving in. The Lord's opening doors for him. And what he shared with us when he first came here, he'll love this, that I made the message about using him as an illustration, but there's a TV program, WTC. It's like it took over, you know how Channel 17... years ago, there's something with three letters. That's W something. I don't know that. I hadn't heard of it, but it's like that. It's very popular. He did an interview on that, and he had sent me a text that, hey, look what I got on. I'm like, wow, that's great. I don't know what that is, you know, but, you know, he did. And then he comes here, and he tells us, and he said it went national. And now he has people from all over the nation calling him saying, oh, we want you to come to our school. So he's on the verge of just exploding with his ministry. What is this person? This is just a man with a very common, normal life that had a passion, a gift for his piano. I mean, it's not normal. But he was a little bit of a recluse. He didn't fit in, which makes for great musicians. Because why? Because you go practice all the time, that's why. And he'd go into his room with his electric piano, put his headphones on, and play till his fingers were raw. And he did that all the time. Yeah, he did something like that to play the way he does. pursued his passion, his gift made a place for him, which is Proverbs. Your gift will make a place for you. I don't fit in. Your gift will make a place for you. Let your gift come out. It'll make a place for you. It'll make room for you. It'll open doors for you. So he's just a guy like you and I that follows the Spirit and believed that the Lord would be with him. He prayed real honest prayers. God, if you don't heal me, I don't know what I'm going to do, because paralyzed for 6 months. You don't come out of that very often. He could, no feeling in his legs. From his belly button down, no feeling. That's real paralyzed. That's the real deal. For 6 months. He's telling us he had his birthday party with a donut on his belly, you know. That's a heck of a way to celebrate your birthday party, you know. And so he has a story, he has a testimony. I'm going to skip a lot of what I was going to say and just go to this. You are developing a testimony. You are a witness. Like, we associate witnessing with, I'm going to go out there, go to the shopping mall, and witness to somebody. Yeah, that qualifies, but the reality is, you, once you take on the name of Christ, once you say, I believe in Jesus, once you enter in to the covenant, kind of like once you sign the papers to buy that car, you have to make a decision of whether you're going to make payments for 5 years. Everybody will tell you, if you're not up to that, don't sign on the dotted line. Don't take the car, right? You don't get halfway through and go, you know what, this car's already wore out. I don't even want to pay for it anymore and just opt. I mean, people pull that, but that's not cool. That's not good, is it? Marriage. I love it when there's romantic love in a marriage. How many of you know, as awesome as that may be in the beginning, that will not keep you married? You've got to dig into something a little bit more than that, something deeper than that, something that's not based on feelings, right? It doesn't take long for that romantic love to get challenged, and there better be something a little more substantial than that to hold you together. And so we talk counting the cost and developing relationship and covenant relationship. Covenant relationships says, I'm with you whether it feels good or not. I'm with you through the thick and the thin, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. And that richer for poorer thing can really bring some damage. And the sickness and health, that can mess up some stuff too if it goes bad, huh? So it takes more. Same with your Christianity and same with your testimony. You are in the process of writing a story. Pretend like this for a moment, that there's a newspaper and it's got your name on it. It's your newspaper. You publish. You publish. You're writing articles. You're putting out information. Your life is. This gets sobering here in a second. What's the headline on your paper, the one you publish? Remember, you love Jesus now. You've given him your life and you've made promises. Silly you. Said, I'll give you my life. That was part of Christopher's testimony. He got better. He got healed. He went back to playing his piano. And I think that's when he's got his first direction to go to a hospital after he's coming back from that casino. Flew back, got in his car, driving home. The Lord says, stop at a hospital. I was like, nah, I'm not feeling that, man. Like, no, I don't want to do that. But he does. And this is what he made this promise. Lord, I'll use my gift for you. And the Lord starts asking. Now, this is the most rewarding thing. He's not begrudging that he gave up his music career. None. He's excited. You almost can't contain him. He's so excited. He's almost too happy. Not really, but I mean, he's very motivated. He's excited about the doors the Lord's opening, because this is more satisfying than that. You're writing a story. You're publishing every day. And so every part of your life that you engage on in every need, you're allowed to be real about it. But we need to get serious about this. We need to make sure that our testimony looks like the testimony in the Psalms. You can start out with a complaint and a difficulty and a hardship, but it better end up with the goodness of God. Because if you don't, and you're in something that you can't get over, I've got some people that are walking this out sitting here today. I'm very proud of you. You've got to get to this place where your story, even as you wait on the Lord, you see, the promises are all there, but the time frame is not necessarily there. It's not there. How soon, how long something will take, what it will look like, what process you may have to go through to get to this healing, I don't know. We don't have, that's not written out, just that there are promises that you can be whole, that you can be forgiven, that you can be delivered, that you can be free. And so we talked about this. I tapped into this thing. I went back to the Beatitudes and went, oh my gosh, this connects with what I was talking about, beauty for ashes. And if you haven't heard that, then go back to the last podcast for the last month and a half. I've been just going at that. And there's this incredible exchange that we believe the Lord invites us into. His beauty for my ashes. Got ashes? Yeah. Keeping your ashes, that's like keeping grandpa on the mantle in an urn. Okay, so you want to give those ashes. The Lord says they're valuable for exchange. And so you get to the Beatitudes and it pops off. First one, blessed are the poor in spirit. There's actually nothing good about being poor in the spirit. Poor in spirit's like pitiful, pathetic person. That's what that is. I've heard preachers and teachers try to make that look good for a long time. I've been one of them. I'm like, there's nothing good about that. Hungry and thirsty, like real hunger, real thirst. Not good. I don't like that sensation. The only thing good about it is that it drives me to eat something. And if I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and there's nothing to drink and there's nothing to eat, I'm miserable. That's misery. Beatitude or not, that's like a bad attitude. That gives me a bad attitude. But Jesus gives us these difficult things in two categories. One is these very negative things, poor in spirit, hunger, thirsty, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like those are good for exchange. They're valuable to exchange for the goodness of God and exchange for the promise. And then there's three, mercy, pure in heart, persecuted, I think. They are things that we need. They're good qualities, but you always need to be encouraged in them because they don't seem to have immediate results. You go, I was merciful, and look what I got, right? I was nice to so-and-so, and look what I got out of it. And this is where Jesus says, don't stop doing. Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due time, it has a great result, has a great reward. So as we need to really make a decision when we ask for prayer, when we commit something to prayer, maybe we should do some uninviting. You know, we're always begging people to come forward and get Jesus, whatever. Maybe we should just like start the opposite. Like, I wouldn't come up and ask for, if I was you, I wouldn't come up and get prayer for this. Unless you're really ready to pay the price for it and count the cost. And here's the cost. You can get the healing. I don't know what it's going to cost you. You can't pay for it, but you may have to wait for it. You may have to contend for it because there's an enemy that doesn't want you to have that healing, doesn't want you to have that provision, doesn't want you to have that blessing. And only those that go, I'm getting this, the violent, you've got to get violent about it. You've got to go, this is mine. I'm getting this. I'm grasping this. It's you know, Kmart special. Blue light's going. I got to get the sale. It's Black Friday. Those are disturbing videos to watch. Like, don't watch videos about Black Friday. People running over each other to get underwear. Like, no, don't do that. Come on, good grief. We have some decisions to make. Because the testimony is at stake. What's your story? I prayed and the Lord didn't answer. Be careful. That's like you don't want to publish that. And I referred to this Bethel Church and ministry and their healing. They had to deal with this because they kept finding having people come up for prayer. And the first thing out of their mouth is, I prayed for this for 5 years. They're like, okay, we just started in a bad place. We cannot start from there. You're going to have to ask for prayer today. And as if it's the first time they started telling people that, because how do you overcome that unbelief? You've now established a testimony. I prayed and I didn't get an answer. I prayed for provision 5 years ago. Pretty soon we start telling that story. I remember, I was thinking about this morning. What a difference in our life. And several things contributed to it. But this last season of time, if someone asked me, as a leader of this church, I'm out there, other leaders, other people, and they asked me something, I felt obligated to talk about the problems that we were having. This, that, the other thing. There's always problems, right? There's always something going on. I felt compelled, like I got to tell you what's going on, what I'm not doing well at, what's not going well. I don't know where that came from. But pretty soon, I had this bad story going. Now when somebody asks, things are a lot better. But when they ask, I talk about how great this church is. I don't care how big it is. I talk about the covenant relationships. I talk about my sons and daughters. I talk about the covenant people that are around me that aren't flatterers, but tell me the truth about things. Even the unpleasant, but they're the ones that stick with me. I just had this conversation with somebody else. I said, that flattery thing, that's nasty. So everybody that flattered me in the ministry, they're not here anymore. Just saying. But the brothers and the brother-in-laws and the sister-in-laws and the people that you consist of, that I can't get away with anything, and if I do something, it's like, hey, you know what? That was stupid what you just did at church Sunday. I'm like, those are people who are still with me. So we've got to start. The testimony of the Lord is a huge deal. I don't want to participate in walking around just because things haven't happened as fast as I thought they would or what they would look like. I don't want to be giving a testimony. So when you come for something, when you decide to ask the Lord for something, please count the cost. And here's the cost. When you step across that line and say, I'm going to believe the Lord for this thing, your new commission, the thing now that needs to consume you, is to contend for that until you get it. I don't care if you're face-to-face with Jesus. Jesus, I never quit asking for this healing. Didn't get it down there, but boom, I'm instant now. It doesn't matter. You never quit. On your deathbed, if you need a healing that's a matter of life and death, I understand this now. I have not understood this all my life. I'm like, yeah, give up, just, you know. And then come up with profound teachings about why you're still sick and not going to get healed. We don't need those teachings. We need the promises, and we need to stick to the promises. And what is a mystery to us, it's okay. Leave it a mystery. Don't add your human understanding to things to make it fit. I don't want the gospel to fit my circumstances. I want to fit the gospel. I want to fit the promises. I want to be the person. It's okay to say, how are you feeling today? I'm like, wow, I'm not feeling good. But there must be an ending to this. But God is faithful. I'm waiting on this. I'm contending. I'm giving it to the Lord. There's a way to say that still keeps him on the throne. And it's like, I know he's faithful. Confess the promise. Don't confess the circumstance. Last winter when I was sick with my lungs and I, like, so such a mystery and so weird, and I started to get weary in it, and you start to feel like I'm never going to get better. and nothing makes sense and nothing's working. It's you get wore down. And it's difficult to come to this, to get to the, we've got to get to the place. It is your preoccupation to get to a place where you know what promises to hang on to. That's your job. Do that. Don't even count on somebody else to do that for you. Do that. Find the promises. Find the thing to hang on to and get aggressive about it. Get like, yeah, headline, God's promises are real. Headline, God's going to save me. Headline, he's going to get me out of debt. Headline, wait for it. It's coming. It's big. Bam. You know, like we've got to have a different headline, and that headline's on your forehead. People come up to you like, whoa, baby, you got a bad headline. I don't even want to open your paper. Do you hear this? Wow, go after it. We need an upgrade. We need to get very, very. Raquel, correct, and Raquel and Phil, she's walking this out. You get a chance to bless this woman, like she's walking this out right now. I'm so impressed. I'm so blessed. Real issues, man. She has a reason. She could be given a bad report, couldn't she, Phil? But her report, her testimony is, she's standing in the promises. She's just standing there. She's hanging right in there. Doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to. But the ending needs to have a. You need to be focused on the promise, and you're contending. You're waiting for that. That is what you do. You need deliverance in your household. Several of you are just, you're waiting. We need to be encouraged about that. We need to encourage one another about it. Just stand there. I mean, as leaders, Phyllis and I often feel that responsibility, like we got to fix it. We got to help it. Like, what are we doing wrong? We'll introvert, like, what are we doing wrong? If we preach better, if we spoke better, if we had better worship services, that, you know where that goes, don't you? Like, in the toilet, like, it just drives you there. It's hopeless. It cannot be about me. It can't be about me doing better. It's got to be about tapping in and waiting on the Lord and trusting him with all of our heart and meditating on his promises and getting that posted and just declaring, Lord, you're good. Your promises are true. And I'm going to be a part of your testimony. I'm going to broadcast this. I'm going to publish stories about your goodness. And I may tell a story that starts out in a bad place, but the end of that story is, but God is good. But he is faithful. But he delivered me from it all. But he took me who was little and weak and frail and whatever else I was, you were, and made something beautiful. He rescued me. The me in it wasn't very pretty, but the him in it was beautiful. Even me, that's my story. That was Christopher's testimony, and you loved it, like, wow. Because he just pressed through, and he has a testimony of the Lord making way, opening doors, and he had a lot of reasons to quit. Lots. I say, just press through. And he has his eyes on Jesus. Truly, not on people, not on ministries, not on anything. His eyes are on the Lord. The Lord, faithful is the Lord who calls us. He will bring it to pass. So I just feel there's a big emphasis on this. For the Lord's name's sake, I want to be very diligent with this, that there's a good story. And when you're in process, you're allowed to be there. But your job is to find the promises in it and start declaring them even before they come. That's your job. And there's no formula for the time, and there's no formula for the process. I don't know what process he'll use for you, and I don't know what time he'll use for you. And I don't know what, I love the stories where wham, bam, you know, it happened. Instant eggs, I prayed, I got healed, I got delivered, I got, you know, I got my car back. I got my money back. I got, you know, stuff happened. I love those stories. We all love those stories. We don't love the stories. 18 years later, I'm still waiting on the Lord, still faithful. Those stories, like, oh, wow. But what else do you have to do with your life after all? Do you think anything else is really of value? It all burns, but waiting on the Lord all of your life, that won't burn. That stays good. Contending for the promises of God. Hebrews 11 talks about this. Those that didn't even get to see the promise, but they believed. Like, oh, wow. And we get to live in this outpouring of the Spirit. We get to live in so many things. Grateful. We want to be grateful. We want to be thankful. Do you understand? Like, that's the only deliverance, because we're the people that have the most, that we can, you can be discontent overnight. Lord, give me a car. Give me a car. The Lord gives you a car. You're like, I love this car. And then you're driving one day and you see somebody else's car. You're like, oh, I wish I had that. I'd be a lot happier if I had that car. And pretty soon we're discontent. The only way to guard is to become thankful. Become thankful today. Become grateful today. That is the answer. And out of that gratefulness, the kingdom is all about abundance. I have a lot of things that are better than what I need. Do you understand that? A lot of things in my life that are more than what I need. They're better than what I need. The key is to be grateful, to be thankful. And it's not about, okay, I'm going to do without stuff. There's nothing really spiritual about that. That's Catholic. That's, you know, that's a religion that's based on what's the word I want to use? Like doing without. Pardon? Yes. It's like, I'm spiritual because I have nothing. You can be going to hell and have nothing. I mean, it doesn't have value in itself. Do you understand? And actually, the principle of the kingdom is abundance. But you must come to thankfulness and gratefulness, or you'll never have enough. It'll never be enough. So let's pray. I've gone a little longer than I wanted to. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask for every person here that is aware, we are writing testimonies. We're writing story. Our life is a story. Our life is a testimony. Father, I want the headline to change. I want it to be a declaration of your goodness. I want that headline to change. I don't want that headline to be my failures. I don't want that headline to be what's gone wrong in my life. I don't want that headline to be what I did wrong, what I don't have, what didn't happen. I want that headline to be about you. I want that headline to be about your goodness. I want that headline to be your promises. I want that headline to be your testimony and your goodness in my life. And that's why it is legal. It's not illegal. It's legal to declare things that have not yet come to pass. It is a scriptural principle to declare my healing before I see my healing. It's a scriptural principle to declare my provision before I see my provision. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask for you to change our awareness. We're willing to do our part. We need your grace to bring us in. I ask for revelation, the spirit of revelation, to come and show us and convict us so we can get out of these ruts, so we can change our story, so we can get a good story, so that mostly you will be glorified in our lives. You'll be glorified. We just thank you. Thank you for all you do. We're willing to accept the cost and the price. Without anger, without resentment, but with grateful hearts, you're good. You're good, Lord. You're good.